Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Come and be to the book of Acts, chapter number 17. And we're going to start at verse number 10. When you have it, say amen. Amen, amen. And the word of the Lord reads, it says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." You may be seated in the presence of the living God. And a text or title that we'll be trying to work with is called Brethren Act. All right, all right. Brethren Act. Amen. And y'all know we're continuing in our current sermon series called Pay Attention. And I don't know about you, like as Pastor Ivan talked about on last Wednesday about paying attention, it costs you something to pay attention. Amen. Hence the first word, pay. Pay. When you think about people are actually spending all type of money for medication because different teachers and different people have deemed they're unable to focus or having a long enough attention span to focus or be able to be taught the necessary things that they need to be taught because of the lack of having a proper attention span. So we see that people are having to pay for attention and think about, because we got a lot of people that are thirsty. Yeah, I said it. We got a lot of people that are thirsty. You understand? Relationships are suffering because they spend more time on Facebook or Instagram because guess what? They're trying to get somebody to pay them some type of attention. And for the love of God, I can't understand. I'm not trying to understand. I think that's a bad understanding. I'm not trying to even understand it. But this is, for the love of God, I'm trying to figure out, though. I am trying to figure it out. I don't want to understand it, though. Trying to figure it out. I know y'all think that's crazy what I just said, right? That's almost the same thing. No, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm just not trying to understand it. All right. There was a loving God that wants to give you all type of attention 24/7, but yet we choose not to find our attention in God. Because guess what? I understand in order to get attention from God, guess what? It still costs you something. In order to be called by God, anointed by God, it costs you something. To walk in the call of God or to walk in the anointing of God, it costs you something. And what I found out, most people are unwilling to pay the cost or whatever. You understand? We don't want to pay what God requires. This cost, we don't want to pay this cost, because guess what? When God gives you his attention, he's not just giving you attention for the mean to boost your self-esteem or to boost your ego. The type of attention God brings you is a checking type of attention. Oh, I ain't going to get that much help right here. But I brought my own hallelujah, my own amens, just in case I don't get no help right here. Because what I understand, the type of attention that God is going to bring is going to be a checking type of attention. It's going to be a correcting type of attention. And we don't like that type of attention when it's coming for God. We want somebody to butter us up. We want somebody to pat us on our back and tell us how good we are and how great of a job we've done. But you know what? God will look you square in your face and say, guess what? You're wrong. God will tell you, know what? Sit on down. God will tell you to shut your mouth. But folk don't like that in the church. Because there was a gospel that's being preached that God just loves you. Now, and the thing is, God loves you. But he doesn't love your sin. God loves you, but he doesn't love your flesh. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're talking about Brethren Act. Now, I know y'all are familiar with Whoopi Goldberg, right? And her, one of her good movies, Sister Act, in which she was portraying a nun, a sister, right? And when you think about this, God had her right where she was supposed to be, where she was able to speak into the lives of the younger people. Amen?
Amen, amen, amen.
He had her right where she needed to be, putting on the act. But while she thought she was just putting on the act, God was actually using her to minister to the lives of other people. And you have to pay attention to whom God allows to enter into your life. Because we understand the three reasons why people come into your life. They either come for a reason, a season, or they come for a lifetime. And if you're not paying attention to why people are in your life, then can I suggest to you that your life is about to be messed up. Right. You got to think why people try to hook up with other people. Because a lot of times, most people are opportunists.
That's it.
At the core of us, most of us are opportunists. Right. We're trying to find an opportunity of how I can benefit from you being in my life.
That's it.
Where were the people that said, okay, you know what? I can benefit from you telling me the truth. Whew, Lord help me right there. Because most folk don't believe that they can benefit from someone telling them the truth. And as we've been telling you, we understand that when we're speaking truth to different people, why people really get upset, they're not upset at us, the messengers. You are upset because when we speak truth to you, it is God that is housed inside the truth. God is confronting you by means of truth. And do you understand that you can benefit from the truth? So the gist of the message is simply talking about being open, or are you shut down? The Brethren Act, the Brethren Act, the Brethren Act, the Brethren Act. We collectively make up the Brethren.
Yeah.
And we must act according to the Holy Ghost. We must act according to the word of God. We must act accordingly as God allows us to build relationship with certain people in our lives and how we're supposed to govern ourselves in these particular relationships, right? So I want you to understand, we're talking about the Brethren Act. Y'all got my song queued up? So they'll understand what I'm talking about. Who? Huh? You better wake up and do what?
If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be
somebody, if you want to beat somebody, and if you want to go somewhere, then you, my friend, you, my sister, you, my brother, better wake up and you better pay attention. Because it's the lack of you paying attention that, can I suggest you, maybe your life is where it's at because you failed to pay attention. So I know we ain't got that many folks that's willing to be honest with yourself and say, you know what, I just did not pay attention. I did not pay attention to the details. And we know that it's the details that makes the difference. Right? It's the details that makes the difference. And when we refuse to pay attention to the details, our lives can be messed up. Can be messed up. Amen. So we find ourselves here in the book of Acts, the book that is dedicated to the apostles, or the action of the Holy Ghost. And some people deem it as the Acts of the Apostles, but I like to think of it as it's the action. This book is displaying the action of the Holy Ghost. Right. So we're here, and then audience is, you know, it's talking to the believers. A lot of the believers that were found in the Roman within the Roman Empire that Paul began to speak to. And we understand that Paul was considered to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So those who were not automatically engrafted in as Hebrews or as Jews, Paul, God sent him to speak to these people. And we understand Paul did a lot of speaking about faith and not being necessarily under the law, but now being justified by faith and things of that matter right there. So he's here talking to these believers, and he finds ourselves here at verse number 10. It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, and they're sending him from Thessalonica. Now, while he was at Thessalonica, and this is what you got to understand, a custom of Paul was, whenever he got to a certain city that housed believers, his custom was to automatically go to the synagogue, a place of gathering, a place where they would come together and where they would worship and break open the bread of God, where they would pray and read the scriptures. I'm talking about trying to get into the presence of God, hear what the Lord is saying, learn of God as we labor with those that are among us. You understand? It was customary for Paul to go immediately to the synagogue to preach and declare the gospel of the good news of Jesus.
Yeah, right. All right, amen.
But when he got to Thessalonica, They didn't necessarily receive Paul like that. They had an issue with Paul preaching the gospel about Jesus Christ. How can this man die and then resurrect and talk about being a king? In other words, their uproar was that, okay, they're preaching a gospel talking about Paul is preaching about another king who's trying to take the place of King Sisera.
Right, all right.
So they had an issue with that. Who's this king that you're preaching about? Saying that he's going to take the place of our current king. So religious that they don't know anything. You understand? So religious to they're not even paying attention to the details. The Bible talks about how his own received him not. Talking about Jesus, how his own. Talking about the Jewish or the Hebraic people, how they received him not. So religious that they paid no attention to the details that he's one of ours. And God has sent him to be the King of Kings.
Yes.
Right? So, as we find ourselves, it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Right? Now, this is the thing. When you think about Thessalonica, where he's coming from, Thessalonica, in the Greek, it is defined as victory or falsity. In other words, winning at being untrue. You know how many of us are winning at being untrue? Many of us are winning at deception, winning at lying, falsehood. I said something right there. I'm saying something right. Notice what I said. It says victory at falsity. Thessalonica means victory at falsity. Because of a lack of paying attention to the details, they have deceived themselves that Christ is not the soon coming king. Winning at being deceived. Think about how many days we try to deceive ourselves that God has not called us, or how many days we deceive ourselves that there doesn't need to be a change that takes place in our life.
All right, come on.
I'm suggesting to you might be a Thessalonica. Victory at falsity. Winning at being deceptive.
All right.
Winning at being a liar. Because I get it, nobody wants to be called a liar. Notice we get offensive when somebody is called or somebody calls us a liar. Our eyebrows raise and immediately our jawbones clench and facial expressions get all tight. Our body gets tight because we can't believe that somebody had the audacity to call us a liar. But what I found out that if you're not telling the whole truth or the absolute truth, then my friend, you indeed are a liar, because a half a truth is a whole lie. And we deceived ourselves to believe that, well, if I told a portion of the truth, then I'm not a liar. I told the portion of the truth that you needed to hear. No, I needed to hear the whole truth. The whole truth. But you made up your mind just giving me a piece of a truth was good enough. But I want to suggest to you that guess what? You are, in fact, a whole liar. A whole liar. You told a half truth, which is a whole lie, which makes you a whole liar. But some of us are winning at being false. False images. False tones when we speak to people. False body language. False facial expressions. I'm talking about you can look folk right in their face and ask them, why did you lie? And they'll fix their mouth to tell you, I'm not lying. But remember. Ananias. Paul told him, you're not lying to me, you lying to the Holy Ghost. People have it in their mind that they're lying to you, the individual that's present before them, but you forget that I'm filled with the Spirit of the living God, and you fix your mouth to lie to the Holy Ghost. You fix your mouth to lie to the Holy Ghost. This has been my word for the last couple of days. When did God send out that email that we can just lie and it's okay? Did everybody get a memo and I didn't get that one? I'm talking about, when did God send out the email that we can just run from the will of God, run from the call of God, run from who he's called us to be? When did he send out that email from heaven? When did he give that memo?
Because I want that I want that memo, I want that email that we can run and it's okay. In other words, we can disobey and it is okay. Can somebody please forward that email to me if you still have it? I'm just trying to figure out. Because when you look around and you begin to pay attention to details, folk are not as submitted as they claim to be. Folk are not as obedient as they claim to be. Folk are not as yielded as they say that they are. When you look and begin to pay attention to the details, and I'm just trying to figure out, where is that email at? I know somebody got it floating around. Selfish, they don't want to share it. Stingy, they don't want to release it. They want it to be a secret between them and God. No, share that email. If God is letting us run and disobey, somebody share that email with me. That's all I'm trying to say. So they sent Paul and Silas away from Thessalonica unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews customary. He did what was customary for him. Went into the synagogue at Thessalonica, and as soon as his feet hit Berea, he went to the synagogue. He went to the place where they come together, the place where they gather. And why is it we have an issue with gathering? When we consider ourselves to be the people of God, why do we have such an issue when it comes to gathering? And you got to understand, these are believers that Paul is gathering with. They didn't have an issue coming together to read the word of God. They didn't have an issue coming together to pray. I get it. I got my answer. You have an issue coming together because you don't want to do church stuff. In other words, you don't want to pray. But with everything you got going on in your life, you always asking somebody to pray for you. You always asking somebody to pray with you. But when we say come together, that we can pray together, you have an issue when it's time to gather. Or y'all not going to talk to me, so I'm going to talk to you. We have an issue when it's time to gather. Because guess what? When I have to come pray, or when I have to come get in the word, it causes me to be responsible. There is an accountability that I have to walk in when I got to come pray. Because guess what? When I come to pray, this is me talking to God. And because I want God to talk back, I got to beat my flesh back. Guess what? I got to bring my mind subject. I got to bring my heart and my emotions subject. I got to bring this flesh subject. I got to bring my emotions subject. I got to bring my will subject. I gotta love these folk. I can't act like I'm playing around that I just like these folk, but I gotta really love these folk. You know what the church needs? The church needs to the churches need to have a real good powwow. Sit in a circle and say, "What's your issue with me?" If you ain't got no issue, let me tell you what my issue is with you. I got a problem that you can't serve God. My problem is, or my issue is, you only want to call on him when you need something from him. But the Bible tells me that he's a good God. He's good even when you don't need anything. He's good when you still need something. I have an issue that you feel like you're trying to use my God. Yeah, I think the church needs to have a powwow. What's wrong with you? It used to be you ask a man that, the man would say, nothing. Yeah. Now you ask women, women are responding like men, nothing. And it's a lie. It is everything wrong with you. You just don't want to say everything is wrong with you. Till you having a bad hair day, you mad because you can't get your hair right, you mad because your makeup not right, you mad because you're on your cycle, everything wrong with you. You mad that men don't have a cycle. I wish you knew, but I was. No, I don't want to know what you're going through. I'm so glad to be a man. You don't even understand. Don't be mad at me that I ain't got that cycle. I got other kind of cycles in my life. See, I wish somebody would go ahead and be honest. I got other kind of cycles in my life. Why you mad about God cleansing your inside? I got other kind of cycles going on in my life. Yeah. You don't understand how difficult it is being a man. For the love of God, I can't understand why some women are trying to become us. You don't understand how difficult it is to be a man. Listen, he said, and the brother immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming through went into the synagogue of the Jews. So he sent them to Berea. Berea in the Greek is defined as well water. In this particular city, well water, we understand water symbolic for word or word. The water is also symbolic for spirit.
Yes. Right.
In other words, these were people who wanted the word. People who wanted the spirit of God. And you don't find this in the churches where people say, give me the word of God. Give me the spirit of God. I guarantee if we were to put the microphone to your mouth, everybody would have a different reason why they came to church. Somebody need their bills paid. Somebody need healing in their body. Somebody just want to be delivered. Somebody thinking, well, I need to be saved. Somebody saying, well, I just want to feel good. I'm hoping I will feel good better than I did before I got here. Yeah. But nobody just wants the word, meaning nobody just wants the truth. Give me the truth. It's the truth that you know that makes you free. If we paid attention to the details, healing is found in truth. Certain relationships are still damaged because the two parties are unwilling to tell one another the truth. So therefore, proper healing can't manifest because we got some folks still lying and being deceptive and being manipulative in the relationships, unwilling to tell the folk the truth so that they can be healed. No, you still got secrets. And you expect folk to be healed and you keep telling them, just get over it. I can't get over it until you give me the truth. I can't be healed until you give me the truth. I cannot be delivered until you give me the truth. Now tell me what really happened. Tell me how many times you really did it. Lord have mercy. Oh my. No. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Tell me what really went down. And if you don't think I can take it, pray for me while you tell me. Invite the Spirit of God in here while you tell me. Because my Bible tells me what the Spirit is, there is liberty. Liberty for you to tell the truth. Liberty for me to be healed by the truth that you will speak. Go ahead and tell me the truth. While grace is there, tell me the truth. Stop lying like you, well, I don't want you to be hurt. You should have thought about that before you did what you did. What you did hurt me. Oh, you ain't going to help me. You lie talking about you care about me, whether or not I'm going to be hurt. No, if you really care whether or not I was going to be hurt, you would have never did what you did. Okay, somebody say Thessalonica. Oh, victory and falsity. Yeah. Winning at deceiving. Oh, you alive from the pit of hell. You don't care about my feelings. Some of y'all better question whether or not folk care about you. Oh, you better question whether or not folk care about you. I know they say they love you. How can they love you when they really don't like you? Because in order to love somebody, like was the prerequisite to love someone. They really can't stand you. They tolerated you. Oh, I ain't going to get no help right there. It has become so easy, so routine to let it slip out of my mouth. I love you. It's a common thing for folk to talk about they love you. No, if you love me, love gives me boundaries. Love gives you boundaries. If you love me, love tells you how you're supposed to act towards me. Love tells you how you're supposed to treat me. Love tells you how you're supposed to be mindful of me. Not your definition of love, but what does God's definition of love looks like? Love me that way. See, there are so many ways that people want to try to love you. All right. No, don't love me your way. Love me according to God's way. Be patient with me. Because you always want somebody to be patient with you. When you mess it up, oh, you always want me to be patient with you. Well, can I get some patience in return? When I have to bite my tongue, that's me being kind. Because when I can rip your little raggedy story apart. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me. Your little story that got already, when you brought your story, it got a bunch of holes in it. Now, me just being kind, I can rip it apart right now. But I'm just being kind to let you go on with your story. Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. You didn't even realize I was being kind to you. Not to rip that trash apart. Because your story, all it really was trash. He's gone to the city of Berea, well watered. And it's nothing like being around people that want the same thing that you want. I just want him. I heard Travis Green said, I just want him. Everything else you can have it, take it out of my life. I just want him because nothing and no one compares to him. Isn't that what COP saying? Nothing compares to you. It's not just things that doesn't compare to him, but people that don't compare to him. So it's nothing like being around people who have the same frame of mind that you have. I just want him. Give me the word. Give me the truth. Give me the spirit of God. I want him. I want him. I want him. You know, the old saints used to say, feed me. I got some old folk up in here. Some old soul. Old church say, feed me till I want no more. Give me the word, God, till I want no more. Give me your spirit, God. What they were really saying is, it's not that I don't want you, God. I'm talking about feel me so much, God, that when you try to pour more in me, God, I can't handle or I can't even receive the more that you're trying to pour on the inside. I'm trying to get around those people. But we're talking about paying attention. And Webster, we're going to stick with the same definition that Pastor Ivy used, paying attention. Attention is defined, according to Webster, the act or state of applying the mind to something. The act or state of applying the mind to something. The act or state of applying the mind to something. What is your mind on? What have you applied your thought process to? What is occupying your mind? What has your attention? What is causing your mind to act or respond in the manner that it's acting or responding? Or dare I say, who has your mind? Oh, who has your mind? Well, you focus on every little thing that they've said to you. You're trying to figure out if what they're saying is the truth. You're trying to figure out what are their intentions and what are their motives. It has your mind occupied with what they've been speaking to you. So you really can't think on anything else but what they said to you. And mind, just not that they're saying anything crazy to you, but some of us with our crazy self, this is the only thing we can focus on throughout the course of the day. Well, I wonder, what did they mean when they said that? Let's not ask for what does this mean? If I were to say this to you, what does this mean to you? Do you know somebody? Can you believe? You're trying to see if somebody else has ever been where you are. And how did they respond when posed a certain question in the like manner? And so you just don't want to be out here left alone. Yeah. See, that's the thing where we would allow certain people or certain things to occupy our mind, because we feel if our mind is distracted off certain things, then I can trick myself into believing that I'm not alone. No, you're still alone with your occupied mind. With your distracted mind, you're still alone. Right? So there's nothing like being around people of like mind who wants the word, who wants the spirit,
like you want the spirit. And here we go, as we get into the meat of this text, verse number 11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Talking about the men, the women that were found in the city of Berea. They had more. Had more. Noble is talking about them being where they had more, you know. Even if you're talking about it from a sense of money, they had more than those who were at Thessalonica. And I don't know about you, money answereth all. Oh, Jesus. Because we all have thought it and said it. Lord, if I just had a little bit more money. This money will stop me from having this particular struggle. In other words, if I had a little bit more money, God, I wouldn't have to worry about this right here. If I had just had a little bit more money, if I couldn't get away from my problems here, if I had enough money, I'd pick up and move and leave my problems right here. Yeah. If I had a little bit more money, oh, some of y'all are going to be real, I'd buy me some other friends. I would purchase me some other friends. If I had a little bit more money, because I'm tired of being around these shysty people, these trifling folk right here. If I had a little bit more money, God, I'd buy me some yes people and some amen people, some people who would agree with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. I would buy me some folk who didn't mind. You understand? Just being around me, saying whatever it needs to say according to me and my money, right? So they were noblemen than those, more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, right? And we're talking about paying attention. We're talking about the brethren act. They had a readiness of mind to receive the word, right? And when you talk about the word, we're talking about that was spoken. And even you'll see as you go further down, right? It even talked about how they searched the scriptures. Scripture is talking about the holy word of God that is written. So these people in Berea had a readiness of mind to receive the spoken word and the written word. The spoken word and the written word. These were more noblemen than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Readiness of mind in the Greek has been defined as they had a zeal or an eagerness to receive the word. They were excited about the word. In other words, when they were grabbing from the cabinetry the sacred scriptures, the scroll, as they were unroll the scroll to read. They understood the life that was in the word to read. Jewish culture, I'm talking about, they would go hysterical, huh? Just jumping all around, dancing all around, because we took the holy sacred scripture out of the cabinetry and we brought it before the people to read. In other words, to hear what the Lord our God is saying unto us.
What is
slipping my mind right now? I got two other M words in my head. The birthday term for the Jew. What is it, Shekinah? That. When they go through their bar mitzvah, do you understand? They're preparing when they go through their bar mitzvah. It is required of them that they must be able to quote word for word books like the entire book of Isaiah. This gives them, I'm talking about quoted word for word. When you think about what we see as chapters and verses inside the scriptures, there were no chapters and verses inside the sacred text for them. But to know it word for word, and I'm talking about over 60 some odd chapters in the book of Isaiah. Here you have a 12-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl who's getting ready to pass into adulthood. Yeah, in Hebraic custom, 12 years old, when you have your bar mitzvah, it passes you or ushers you into becoming an adult. But to prove that you are ready to be an adult, let me see if you can spit back the word of our living God. When some of us struggle with even quoting back the entire Psalms chapter number 23,
Here you got a 12-year-old boy who you got a 12-year-old boy who ain't got that much experience with life, a 12-year-old girl who ain't got that much experience in life, but can stand flat-footed, unashamed, and not afraid, and spit out over 60-some-odd chapters of Isaiah. Prophetic words at that, and speak it without missing a beat, because I'm ready to embrace my manhood. I'm ready to embrace my womanhood. In other words, what they were really saying to you, I'm ready for my responsibility to walk in who God called me to walk in, to be who God called me to be, to do what God called me to do. I'm ready with an excitement when the word would come forth. They would be jumping around like they lost their mind just to hear the word of God read to them. We get excited about praise and worship now. Or choirs. We love when the choir come marching in. Oh, this is going to be a hot song. We get up just because how we see them marching in. Oh, we get up ready. Oh, just get our back, this rock on. Why is it that the choir got to find new things to do in church to keep us entertained? If it's not our Baptist rock, we got to come with a new clap to get you excited in church. Y'all know I ain't lying. The church has to come up with new things to keep the people of God excited about church. It's church antics is all it is, when you should be excited about the word of God. It's telling you the Bereans, they were eager with a zealousness to hear the word of God, because they understood my life is found in the word of God. My health is housed in the word of God. My change is found in the word of God. My deliverance, it is in the word of God. My salvation, it is found in the word of God. And we can't get both to get excited about the word. Excited about a false prophet, false apostle, false teachers, but when the true absolute word of God comes, both looking at a stale, barely got a praise in their mouth, hand or feet. Like, how crazy is that? Look at the difference between those in Thessalonica. They rose up with a vengeance when they found that Paul was speaking about Jesus Christ. They stirred up the crowds to move Paul, to push him out of the court. Oh, I'm right where we're supposed to be. Where you see folk are upset and mad about preaching of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the truth that is confronting your lifestyle. It is the truth that's letting you know that your lifestyle is not right. Your lifestyle is not lining up with the word of God. And you hate the fact that God is confronting you about your lifestyle. So what is society's answer or response to that? We're going to push God out of our culture. In like manner where they're pushing Paul out of the culture of Thessalonica. No, you get out of here. We don't want to hear about that. We don't want to hear about your Jesus. We don't want to hear about your truth. We don't want to hear about, okay, you talking about our sin. No, we deem this to be right in our own eyes. If our sin is not hurting you, don't say nothing about our sin. But the devil is a full-blown lie. It's wrong. It is wrong. And because people hate for you to correct them or to tell them that they're wrong, because we all want to be right. We don't want nobody to tell us that we're wrong. We all want to be right. But God comes in the form of truth to confront you and let you know, you're wrong. What you're doing, I'm not pleased with it. What you're doing is separating yourself from me. So, just like today, where folk are trying to push God out of culture, we see back then they're trying to push God out of the culture. Well, Paul said, okay, that's all right, because I'll go to the next city where there is a people who is craving the word of God. There is a people that their desires for the word of God. There is a people that is longing for the word of God. Oh, I wish I had somebody who didn't mind opening up their mouth and giving God a hallelujah right there. Who didn't mind saying glory to the Most High God. God, I am one of those people, God, that you deem, God, that is looking for the word, God. I'm looking to the hills from which cometh my help, God. I understand what's coming from the high place is the word of the Most High God. I'm looking with a zeal, God. I'm looking with an eagerness for the word of God. I got an excitement for the word. I'm hungry for the word, thirsty for the word. longing for the word. Oh, I'm longing for the word of God. I'm telling God, God, I need you, God. I'm nothing without you, God. I can't make it without you, God. I need your word, God. Speak to me, God. If you don't speak to me, God, God, I'll be lost, God. Order my steps, God, according to what you would speak, God. My very life is dependent, God, upon your word, God. If you don't speak, God, I don't know what my next move is, God. If you don't speak, God, I can't stay right here, God. I need you to speak, God. My life is dependent upon you speaking, God. Oh, I live because you're speaking, God. You take it for granted, the word of God. Come on, you ought to, don't push God out of the culture of your home. Or some of y'all have got to the point, you don't even play the word in your house anymore. You don't play the word in your car anymore. You're pushing God out of your culture in your home. Oh, the culture of this spiritual temple is changing. You're pushing God out of your culture, feeding this temple with every other thing except the word of God. Pushing God out of your culture. Wish I had help right there. You ought to invite him back into your culture. You don't understand how your change or the atmosphere of your home is changing because you have pushed God out of the culture of your home. Now you are open and receptive to anything in your thought process, in your emotion, because you have pushed him out of the culture of this spiritual temple right here. You are open and susceptible to anything. Where you had a stance now, you easily fall. Where you had a stance now, you're more readily open to anything and to anyone, to everything. Oh, but I wish you would invite him back into your culture. You're changing and don't even realize that you're changing. Transforming and don't even realize that you're transforming. Mind is not the same. Oh, 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 oh. Ideas and ideologies are changing. Oh, oh, oh. Where there was a stance, oh, where the word of God meant something to you, where prayer meant something to you, where fasting meant something to you, where praying in a session meant something to you. Now it's just a byword. Now it's just a byproduct. I'll do it when I have need of it. What a deception, victory, and falsity. How the enemy is deceived. You need to pray every day or throughout your day. You need to talk to God and let God talk back to you. Because we're not even being honest about what we struggle with throughout the course of our day. We talk at and around about what we're dealing with. But these people, with zeal, and they were eager to receive the word, the truth. Give me the truth, no matter how hard it is. Give me the truth. If the truth checks me to the door, but give me the truth. If it offends me momentarily, but give me the truth. I understand that you giving me the truth is the proof or demonstration that you love me. Give me the truth. I'm just trying to figure out who really loves me. Well, you want to know who really loves you? Check out those who are giving you the truth. They don't care if it makes you mad. Jesus told you there is going to be some truth that's going to be downright offensive to you. The intent is never to offend, but I understand the truth that's coming out of my mouth. It may very well offend you because it's checking you. It's confronting you right where you are, and you don't want nobody to check you or to correct you or to confront you right where you are. Yeah, you. But your so-called bad self, you. You ain't really bad. You just mean. You just mean. And you wonder why folk walking away from you because they tired of having a so-called mean friend. You want to tell everybody about them, but nobody can tell you about you with your mean self. Sit your mean self down somewhere and hear some truth about you. This is the first truth you're going to hear. You a mean, nasty, maniacal individual. Cynical in your ways many days. Stubborn and selfish. Yes, you are. Tired of you faking and flossing and playing games around. You are mean. And you need to change. We see your aggression when we try to tell you something. Sucking of the teeth. Shrugging of the shoulders. Rolling of the eyes. Deep, strong grunts and sighs, all indicating factors that you are a mean individual. Breaking eye contact. You don't want to look at me no more. The sound of my voice now irritates you. You thinking about whether or not you're going to answer the phone when I call, sending me the voicemail, not responding to my text until 3 days. You are a mean individual. Walking by me at church, purposely not talking to me, speaking to everybody around me, and by you are a mean individual. And when you do decide to open your mouth, hey, it's an old short aggressive hey, hi. You have to force that hey and force that hi out of your mouth, because you, my friend, my sister, my brother, are a mean individual. They were eager to receive the word. I'm talking about a hard word that Paul would bring to them. Give us the word, men of God. Speak the word, men of God. Speak, Lord, they used to say. But we don't say speak, Lord, anymore. We don't say give me the word anymore. We don't say hit me with the word anymore. Because we're tired of being hit with the word now. Now we got to keep pounding you with this word. Like we the Carolina Panthers up in here. Keep pounding. Keep pounding. Keep pounding you with this word. Yeah, till some of y'all stones break. Jeremiah tells us that the word is like a hammer that will break up the stones. We got to keep pounding y'all with the word to break up your hard heart, to break up your hard mindset, to break up your hard will, your stubborn ways. We got to break it up. Break it open. That's what we're trying to do. Break it open. We're trying to break you open. Treasures in earthen vessels that you want to keep locked away. Oh, but we got to break you open. He said they received the word, meaning they were open. Open is the found that is allowing passage without obstruction. They were open to the word. They allow the word to pass through without obstruction. Meaning no matter how hard the word was, meaning if their name got called across the pulpit, they didn't shut down. They didn't have no attitude. They didn't get up and walk out. They didn't come back to church for 5 weeks or 3 months at a time and said, it's me, oh Lord God. It didn't make me feel good, God, but the truth of the matter is, God, you talking to me, God. You talking to me, God. I am that mean individual. I am that stubborn individual. That's me, God. I am that moody individual. That's me, God. I am the one that wants to isolate myself, God. That's me, God. I am the one that doesn't want to gather. That's me, God. I am the one that's full of pride. That's me, God. I am the one that got a disrespectful mouth. That's me, God. I am the one that will talk back. That's me, God. I am the one that will roll my eyes, God. Yes, it is me with a mouth full of excuses. It is me, God. Yes, it's me. They were open. It says they received the word, indicating that they were open. Didn't matter if God came across the pulpit and said, you're a liar. they were eager. So imagine them saying, oh, I can't wait if God gonna tell me I'm a liar. Oh, I'm a liar. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Ah, they was excited about being corrected. Oh, and you would thought that would be a better prayer. I said they were eager. They were zealous about being corrected, about being challenged, about being rebuked, about being chastised of the Lord. This is proof that God loves you. See, society has told you, they got your mind on, you need to be encouraged. No, you need to be corrected. Well, Pastor Ligon, you'll never encourage me, huh? Because it ain't time to encourage you yet. If you want to know me and know the call on my life, go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1, in particular, verse number 10. I tear down before I build first. I uproot before I plant. So if you're looking for a word of correction, I'm going to tell you, guess what? You are not paying attention to who's leading you. People have a problem with that. All he do is telling me, yeah, that's because you know what? Because everything I'm saying is the truth. I get it, though. Having to hear certain truths about yourself, it makes you feel bad about you. And you'll be left wondering, well, is there any kind of good in me? You'll be left wondering, trying to figure out, can I even make it? Can we really be real? You'll be left wondering, is this Christian life really, is it even worth it? If I'm that bad, if I'm that perverted, if I'm that evil, if I'm that nasty, if I'm that disobedient, that rebel, God, is there any hope for me? You ain't gonna say it, so I'm gonna say it for myself. I struggle with that much loss? My God! I thought I just struggled with a little bit of lust of the eyes. But not lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh too. You know what I found out? There were some people who were quick with their responses. You know how we say, quick on your feet? You were quick on your feet, but you'll come back right there. You know what I found out? All that was is a sign of a prideful individual. I'm talking to you. Yes, I am. I'm talking to you. When somebody says something to you and you got a quick response back, even if you don't verbally speak it out your mouth, you're letting us know you're full of pride. And the Bible tells us before pride becomes destruction. Oh, baby, destruction is in some of y'all pathways right now. Destruction is on your journey called life right now because you're full of pride and nobody can talk to you about the pride that you deal with. Help all of us, God. Let's don't be biased with y'all husband. Help all of us, God. Oh, yeah. Help all of us with this pride, God. This pride is trying to cause us to fall, God. Oh, but I won't fall. I shall stand, God. And I shall see the salvation of the living God. I will not fall, but I shall stand and see the salvation of a living God. Why? The truth is going to break this pride off of me. They were open. They allowed the passage of the word. They didn't have any mental blocks because, see, some of us shut the word down as soon as we hear it. We don't let it get past our mindset as soon as we hear it. We shutting the word down and shutting the word out. But these Bereans, they, when they heard the word, they were excited and they were zealous to receive the word. It doesn't matter what you say because, God, I know that you cannot lie, God. Oh, whatever you say, God, even if it's a hard truth, God, I'm going to be excited about receiving this word, God, because I understand that you're speaking this word, God. Even if it's a hard truth, God, you're speaking it first because you love me, God. You're speaking it second because you're trying to save me, God. And third, you're speaking it because you want me to be free. Oh, God, you want me to be free more than I want my liberty myself, God. Yeah. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. There was no obstruction. Sometimes it's your perception. How you perceive or how you interpret what's coming. Whether it's the spoken word or whether it's the written word. And some of our perceptions have us off. But you got to get it together and ask God to change your perception. Give you the right perception about the word of God. The word of God. Some of us, we block it because we can't hear properly. Oh, you need to ask God, God, dig out my ears. Because to dig out my ears are to prepare my ears that I might hear the word of the living God. God, dig out my ears, God. I pray for the hardened hearts, God, that you would turn these hardened hearts back to a heart of flesh, God. Because that's what's blocking the truth. It's that they receive the word with all readiness of mind, with all readiness of mind. And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They didn't just take Paul's word for it. Even though Paul spoke what he spoke, they shouted, laid at the altar, came to the altar and got prayer. They came with their hands up, it's me, God. They were jumping up and down saying, God, hit me with the word, God. They were saying, God, I need you. But afterwards, they were going to search it out for themselves. We tell you, don't just take my word for it. Go to the word. Go to the word and search it out for yourself. That's what the church at Berea did. So it says, therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks and of men. Out of you, right? They believed, again, denoting that they were open. The opposite of you being open is to be shut down or to be closed. Dare I say, right? And when you talk about being shut down, do you understand Webster defines shutting down or shut? It's defined as to stop the service or activities of something. Whether it be a business or school or any type of operation, right? So if we were to use the term operation to stop the services or activities of an operation, since we're talking about the Holy Ghost, the operation of the Holy Ghost, we're stopping the service or the activities or the operation of the Holy Ghost. This is what's happening when you shut down. Because I don't like who's saying. I don't like who's giving the message. Simply put, when you shut things down, you're not open. Most people deceive themselves again. Thessalonica. Victory. A falsity. Winning at deceiving yourself. Because we have deceived ourselves thinking, well, I didn't get up and walk out on you. I didn't hang up the phone while you were talking. But you cut me off. You kept going back and forth. If attention means the act or state of applying the mind to something, if your mind was not applied to what's been spoken to you, and we said openness is defined as what? Allowing passage. So if your mind, if you're not applying your mind and allowing your mind to be applied to what's been spoken, can I suggest to you that you are not open? Some of us would just sit because I don't want to be disrespectful. But even though you didn't want to be disrespectful, you were really disrespectful because you didn't hear anything I said. If you indeed listened to me and did not hear me, because there was a difference between listening and hearing. If you did not hear me and only listened to me, you were disrespectful. You thinking, well, I wasn't disrespectful because I didn't talk back to you. I ain't get up while you speak, walk out on you. I ain't hang up on you. If you did not receive what was being spoken to you, disrespectful. Do you understand? A lot of this has everything, paying attention has a lot to do with what? There is one word at the core of this, time. And we told you, Love is a four-letter word spelled T-I-M-E. This word time, you can waste it. You can mishandle it. You can spend it. But you can never get it back. Time. How have you handled your time? How are you handling your time? Because see, some of us, you may not be disrespectful to the individual, but you're disrespectful of their time. Oh, I'm talking to you right now. Very disrespectful of their time. Because most of us, we don't understand time as your most valuable asset. We don't understand the value of time. Or you think people are searching. What's the little pool called? Where they go back and try to get young again? Fountain of Youth. Or you think they're trying to come up with all type of miracle drugs to turn back the hands of time? All type of surgeries and to plastic, make their face all stretched tight and can't smile properly. Tired of looking at the red lines on your eyeballs. You understand? Because they're trying to turn back the hands of time. There's no such thing. Most of us are shut down. Something is blocking. We don't like the messenger, and we sure don't like the message. Or the messages that have been spoken. And you don't realize how being shut down is damaging, if not destroying, your life, relationships that you are a part of. Because in order to be open, or in order to receive, you must be open. As if I were to go put this washcloth in my wife's hand, in order for her to receive it, her hand must be open. If her hand is never open, no matter how much I try to give it to her, she cannot receive it. And it doesn't matter how many vessels that God sends. It doesn't matter how many chapters he tells you to read or different locations to go find in scripture. If you're unwilling to be open, you will never receive what God has for you. And the gist of everything, we have not been paying attention to the details. We have not been paying attention to how we're mishandling and mismanaging and wasting our time. As we shut down when God is sending people. And the truth be told, God sends somebody because he's already spoke to you. He's already dealt with you about this. He's already been dealing with you about some stuff. Case in point, when you think about certain body language that's on display when we're speaking true. If I were to just look around the room right now and call out some of y'all body language, it won't be because I'm out of trying to put you on Front Street, but your body language is telling me a whole lot. Speaking a whole lot. Some things that I'm saying up here, God has already been dealing with you about it. Whether you read it in the word for yourself, or whether you prayed and God spoke from the third heaven to you, or whether God used your mama or your daddy or your supervisor to speak to you, or your encouraging word that you read on Facebook, or that you got from your Bible app, doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm doing a Bible app, playing at the Bible, and I'm about 41 days behind. But do you understand, being 41 days behind, I'm still right where I'm supposed to be? 41 days behind, but that word that was meant for me on that day is speaking to me right where I am. I said, God, only you can do this. How can I be behind but still be right where I'm supposed to be? You speaking to me right what I need to hear. And mind you, I'm not doing it because God told me to do it, so I'm not in rebellion. I'm doing it because I want him. And I'm trying to build a certain discipline in my life. But even though me and my inconsistency behavior, when I open up the word, he still meets me right there in that moment. I say, good God Almighty, only you can speak to me when I'm 41 days behind. Because he said, I told you, I'm not present. I'm not just everywhere, but I'm at all times. I am the was, the is, and the is to come. I am in all times like I am in all places at the same time. So I can catch you up even though you're behind. I said, only a God. Only a God like our God. So I understand why they had an eagerness and a zeal to be open to the word. Because some of them might have been saying, you know what? All this time we've been living without having knowledge of this king. But God loved us enough to send a vessel, Paul, and to send Titus, or Silas and Timothy, to speak and declare unto us about our God. See, I can only imagine that maybe they have this zeal because they have an understanding of what it was to truly live without God. But now that he's revealed himself to us, and now that he's made himself known, and now that he's spoken to us about how much he truly loves us and demonstrated how much he loves, he's sending a vessel from across the waters to come speak. A man whose life has been in jeopardy, but to come speak and declare what thus said the Lord. A man who has been stoned. A man who has been locked up in prison. A man who has been whipped and beaten. God, you sent this man to come speak to us. Shipwrecked. Bit by snakes. Oh, but you sent him to declare how much you love us. How much you desire us. See, I understand why they was excited about the word. It don't even matter if you traveled all across these waters just to come check us. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm so glad that God loved us enough to send his word to us. It says many of them believe. Women and men. And he said it wasn't just a few. Many of them believe, men and women. They were open to receive the word of God. It says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge of the word that was being preached by Paul at Berea, here again, you wouldn't leave your location, your city, to come stir up some stuff. And see, when folks see you changing, when folks see you excited about God, when folks sit here, you talking about God, they trying to figure out, we can't lose. We can't lose you. Life will not be good if you're no longer a sinner. We won't party like we used to. We can't go clubbing like we used to. We can't drink like we used to. We can't get high like we used to. We can't go dancing like we used to. We can't bite like we used to. We can't cuss folk out like we used to. We can't go sex it up like we used to. So before I lose my partner, I'ma stir up some stuff. That's why he'll send folk to talk about the church. That's why you'll come across stuff on Facebook, folk that you don't even literally know, talk about the church. Have you bump into somebody in the city and talk about the church? That's why he'll make you have a misunderstanding or a disagreement and you contemplating whether or not you should stay at the church. Why are you trying to talk yourself out of being a part of the church? Why the enemy got you trying to figure out every type of reason and give every type of excuse to leave the church? Because we don't understand how desperate the enemy is, because he understands that if you come all the way in, how you about to bring damage to the kingdom of darkness? See, I said a whole lot right there. Maybe we should change the name of the church from Church of Philadelphia to the Church of Berea. Then maybe we'll have folk who are eager and zealous to receive the word. I don't know. I'm just saying. Because the truth of the matter, some of y'all, you have lost your zeal. You're no longer excited about the things of God. No matter how much we pump and prime you, no matter how much we exhort you and encourage you, you are not excited about the things of God. When you come to church, coming to church should not be your first time praying the whole week. You know what I'm saying? I look at some of the things that we're trying to do. When you think about family prayer, trying to pray for your family, but some of y'all won't even get on the conference call and be a part, and we praying for you. We're praying for you. Tuesday. Every night except Wednesday night, nightly devotion, trying to give you the word before you go to sleep. With all them crazy, perverted, and wicked dreams you having, though, we're trying to give you something to dwell on, meditate upon before you go to sleep. But no, you're so busy, you got other things to do. But I guarantee if we stop praying as much as we pray and let you feel some of your struggles and back up, see where you at then. Oh, I got a witness. I just showed Pastor Ivan, somebody text me. They were upset about something with me, had an issue with me, right? They start calling me no longer. I'm talking about younger than me. Way younger, probably about 21. All they've known me as is Pastor Lincoln. But because they took an issue with me, now I'm Lincoln. When I call the check on them, you address me Lincoln. I didn't get mad. Because not miss, or not hence many days, I should say. Now I'm Pastor Lincoln. Pastor Lincoln, can you pray for such and such? Strange stuff is happening. The devil. We seeing folk, but when we go look, it's nobody there, so I know it's the devil. Pastor Lincoln, can you pray? Now my flesh want to respond, no. You call me Lincoln. I want to be Lincoln right now. Lincoln want to respond and say, no, pray for yourself. But I ain't yield to my flesh. I said, I'll do it. I'll pray. What am I trying to tell you? With all the things that we're trying to do to help you gather, because when Paul went to the synagogue, it was about the gathering. It was about the coming of together. I can understand our folk not at Bible study because you're not that busy. You're not at work. You're not that busy. But when you got your agenda, when it's your agenda, we'll see you put all type of things together for your life to fit your life. Everything to fit your life. But like I said, if you really be honest with yourself, the level of struggle that you deal with mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually, pervertedly, all this stuff that you deal with, you ain't honest about this stuff. How some of you, your mind be on the line day in and day out. And you just trying to make sense of simple stuff. And simple stuff have become difficult stuff to understand for you because the level of confusion that you deal with. Or some of you, you haven't lost your mind, not because of your prayer. It's because God got some intercessor praying for you. But I guarantee you, if we were to back up a little bit and let you feel a little bit of that stuff. Jesus. See, some of y'all thinking you have to actually fall into stuff like, let me tell you something. At one point in my life, I got so close to adultery. Not because I committed adultery. I got close to it. But being that close to it brought such a fear to me. I was, oh, Jesus Christ. I was confessing to whoever would listen to my confession. I was asking whoever would pray for me, pray for me. Right? That's just telling you a truth. Every time the church opened, I'm trying to be there because I understood how serious or how real the struggle was. And for the love of God, I can't understand why we can make an excuse to not be at church or not be underneath the word. The devil is alive. You ain't that busy. Because if you that busy, next time you call me to my prayer about this, I'm going to say, no, I'm that busy. I can't pray about your stuff. I got enough stuff to pray about in my own life. How about that? No, some of you need to hear that hard truth. No, you got yourself in it. Get yourself out of it. Oh, and the church ain't going to bail you out. You got yourself in it. Get yourself out of it. You can't gather. Why should I feel sorry for you? When the Bible says you're supposed to work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Have it ever occurred to you that I'm trying to work out my own salvation? That intercessors are trying to work out their own salvation? Pastors and elders are trying to work out their own salvation? But when you talk this type of truth, folk get mad and they get offended. I ain't coming back here, but they ain't going to help me. It is not my responsibility to help. My responsibility is to give you the word. I am not your Jesus. Church of Philadelphia is not your Jesus. Church of Philadelphia is a gathering place for you to come and gather. That's what you got to understand. Saints, y'all better change your mindset. Because the different words that you've been hearing, you are the sin and stuff manifest. And we talked, Apostle Cain, I came right behind him talking about the level of perversion that's coming into school. You see, it is common now. It has become commonplace to see teachers sleeping with children. We told you how this is getting ready to come through the schools. I'm asking my children now more than ever, hey, Rain, listen, did anybody look at you while you went to the bathroom? Did anybody try to help you? I'm asking my children. I trust in nobody. I don't care if she male, female, male. I don't. Did anybody say anything inappropriate to you? I don't know how we can fix our mind when you hear the different words that's been talked about. The level of perversion, that's how that we talk about incest is about to become law. You thought marriage, the sacredness of the covenant of marriage were under attack? They ain't just trying to do away with the covenant of marriage. They're trying to do away with the identity of who we are. They're trying to remove the image of God completely from the earth realm. And you don't understand why they keep feeding you with everything across the television, across Facebook, across Instagram, across magazines and stuff. Everywhere you turn, there's a billboard, there's a magazine. There is something telling you something. Why you don't fit in, why you need to change this and why you need to change that. Or they'll lie to you and say, just be you. God is never pleased with you just being you. Because if it was good enough for you to just be you, you would not need a savior. Me, with my wicked self, I would not need a savior if it was good enough for me to be me. No, God wants you to change. 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 By any means necessary, change. If that means you got to make yourself uncomfortable, still change. Folk are unwilling to go outside their way because they want to remain comfortable. But it's crazy. When crisis hits your life, because see, I can't deem what's crisis for you. But when crisis hits your life, we ain't got to ask you. They the first ones at Bible study, first ones at church. Sitting there, the front, ain't that, yep, I'm talking about 10, 15 minutes early, just sitting there. I was ready to hear this word. You were? Yeah, I was ready to hear this word. But if I were to ask you where you at now, when it seems like your crisis has been aborted or resolved, where are you at now? Because you think crisis is not going to hit again. Life is filled with crisis. And see, what we're trying to teach you is how to be disciplined on how to handle or deal with crises. But you thinking, you randomly popping in, hearing a word, because you're in the middle of a crisis, you're going to learn how to deal with your crisis. Boo, homeboy, let me suggest to you, your crisis is going to overtake you. The folks don't understand, the enemy has strategically got people set up. Just like God got Paul strategically sending him, you think the enemy don't strategically have people being sent your way? With a word, they got a word for you. What's up? I'm just trying to be what you want, what you need. Because they know you open. Open to the wrong things, but they know you're open. See, folks won't talk about how lonely they are, how needful they are, or needy they are. See, we give ourselves the impression that, well, I've already talked about it, well, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. That's why some of the folk, you picking and choosing who you hugging at church. Trying to get away from folk because your flesh on fire that bad. Oh, shoot, let me go this way. Avoiding folk in the church because your flesh is so much on fire. But the things that are necessary to discipline your flesh, you won't do. Like being accountable, confessing, reading the scripture, getting scripture to deal with that flesh, that struggle of your flesh. You won't do that. Coming and praying, coming to the altar, sacrificing that flesh. You won't do that. We won't do that. But we'll entertain all kind of conversations. But the one who's talking all the time that's trying to talk to you, you ain't got no time to talk to him. Or the people of God, you tired of talking to the people of God because you tired of the people of God telling you what's right. So then you let the devil play on your mind. They trying to, ain't nobody trying to control you. You with your foolish stuff and your silly stuff, ain't nobody trying to control you. Yes, I said it. Nobody trying to control you. Well, I'm going to try to control you when I struggle trying to control myself. As crazy as I can be. But if some of y'all met Lincoln before Pastor Lincoln, you'd be like, you know what? I'm going to pray for him. Oh, he need a lot of prayer. Because I do. I do. I'm not ashamed to talk about my issues and struggles, what God has delivered me from. Because I do this to try to make you become free to do it yourself. Because I'm telling you, if some of y'all don't change, if you, the sermon series, if you do not pay attention to stuff that's going on right around you and in interacting with certain people. Because see, the Bible lets us know that each generation is going to become wicked, more wicked than the previous generation. So what you were able to discern before, it's going to take the Holy Ghost for you to discern it. See, some stuff you picked on because you knew what to look for. But what about when they mask and no, y'all ain't going to say something. Y'all ain't going to talk. What about when it don't look like what you're accustomed to looking for? What happens when it doesn't sound like what you're used to hearing? You're like, oh, I know that spirit because I know what it sounds like. I know what it looks like. I know how it acts. But what about when this spirit learns what to do to throw you off course? It's going to take the Holy Ghost to help you pay attention because you're going to miss some stuff. And I'm telling you, there is no time to miss the details. You better pay attention because missing the important details could cause your life to forever be changed. Focus on this whole agenda. I'm just going to do me, boo, do you. But I feel for you if you're trying to do you without him. Which a lot of people are trying to do. I'm going to just do me. And then trying to do themselves, they're not paying attention to the details. Some stuff I can't do nothing. I ain't even got a prayer to pray. Only thing I can do is just weep on their behalf. Just God, just... I can't do nothing but weep for them. I don't even know how to express. God, they missing the details. And they don't even understand where this is about to take their life, God. Some folk, I can't do nothing but weep for them. Ain't got no prayer. Amen? So we're going to keep on with our current service, paying attention. Amen? I pray that you're open and stop shutting down. And we may have to come back and deal with this because, see, the Holy Ghost led me another way. But we're going to deal with this shutting down because there are a lot of saints who are shut down. Certain relationships, certain people shut down. And I'm telling you, I ain't about to suggest nothing to you. I'm going to tell you, flat put it in your face, it's a devil. You are shut down behind a devil. That's all it is. Simple, point blank, it's a devil. And no other way to say it. Come on, put your hands together for the word in Jesus' name.